Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Rocket Mortgage, confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Rob Schneider, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a visit from Reasonable Doubts, Mark Garagus. And now, a man whose mom would love the kneeling NFL protests if she didn't hate the NFL, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. And they get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Excited. Rob Schneider's coming in. Excited. Mark Garagus is sitting in with us at the front half of the show. Everyone loves Mark. Mistrial is the name of the book.
Except the kebab woman.
The kebab woman, yeah. I met a woman at the kebab way. Not a fan of Mark Garagus. She...
And thank God Adam adopted the bro code and did not reveal on the air her critique
of Mark Garagus.
Thank you.
Nothing to do with his hairline.
Yeah, thank you.
And by the way, Mistrial voiced by our own Mike Dawson. So go to audible.com and check that out. All right, so much to get to.
I stayed around? Because what did Gina just say?
I said, I watched the entire Scott Peterson docuseries, and I think we all got it wrong.
But you held your head. Do you remember what you did?
I went like this. Yeah. I was kind of in shock.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. When is he coming up for parole?
He's not. He's on death row. He's got, in California, you get an automatic appeal to the California Supreme Court.
Wait a minute. Charles Manson has come up 23 times for parole. Peterson doesn't come up for parole?
No, because Charles Manson was also sentenced to death, but Charles Manson was sentenced to death 2 years prior to the death penalty being declared unconstitutional.
Look, there's something in the law called being grandfathered in.
Exactly.
It works both ways. Yeah.
Exactly. If you have a license to sell liquor on this corner or whatever that you've had in your family for 50 years, and then they build it up and they open a preschool and they go, hey, no more liquor licenses. You go, yeah, but not from 1959. Like, I get to keep...
Right. Mine.
But then they'd say it was unconstitutional, and then they'd say if you tried to increase the punishment after that, then they'd say it was ex post facto.
Ex post facto.
So Manson does come up for parole every year.
Yes.
Not Scott Peterson.
Correct. But Scott, my humble opinion, his case will be reversed.
It will be.
Yeah. I mean, if you watch, well, let Gina talk. Gina
I don't know anything about anything. I just know that I am among what I assume is the majority. With other friends going, you got to see this. I'm like, I know everything I need to know about Scott Peterson. Thank you very much with the dyed hair and the Mexico. And thank you. I'm fine.
And let me just say why I said Gina was the poster child for what I was up against. I would go to the gym in the morning as we're working out. And I'm generally fairly friendly as I'm trying this case. And I would be on the treadmill or I'd be on the bike. And it would always be the same type. It would be a white professional woman. I mean, that
really?
Was white professional woman. And they would always say, well, what about the dyed hair? And I'd say, well, no, he was being followed all the time by the media. And so he dyed his hair because he was still trying to make a living. And they'd say, well, what about he was heading to Mexico? And I'd say, well, if he was heading to Mexico, why was he going north on the 5? Because that's toward Canada. And then they'd say, well, what about the anchors? And I'd say, there were no anchors. They never found any anchors. And they'd say, and it would always default to the same thing. And it was always white professional women. It doesn't matter. I had a boyfriend just like him, and I know he'd do the same thing because he didn't want to get committed.
Wow. Yeah, once you find out, first off, there's a way to think that I do not believe those professional women can think, which is if
that's the end of the sentence.
You can tell them 50% of married men cheat at one time or another on their spouse. There's some insane number of 40% or whatever it is.
I think the actual figure is 78, but that's fine. Go talk to the kebab woman.
Yeah, she had some thoughts. She had some definite thoughts. But here's my point. If 50% of men engage in whatever this activity, and then we find out this killer also engaged in this activity, that means nothing.
Right.
Statistically, it's a zero. Now you're back to zero because it's like saying half the people use an iPhone and the other half use an Android. And then this guy kills or is accused of killing. You find out he uses an Android. And you go, aha.
Makes sense to me.
Now he's joined half the male population. So it really means nothing. Statistically, but everyone does the, I knew it. Now we got a problem.
But this is what plumbs the unconscious of the white professional woman.
It's also, if you love Bill Clinton and you love JFK, it's like, so what? They stepped out a little. Leave him alone. Like, you should hear Lynette's defense of the boss. Like, if Bruce Springsteen, he's on the road a lot. He's on the road a lot.
Wait, with his
wife. He gets
wife.
To do what he wants.
Oh, yeah. It's like, which one?
Every time, if they like the person, like they like their music, it's like, oh, leave him alone.
Man's got needs.
Yeah. So it's such a great way to think.
What started it, I'm convinced, I will go to my grave, is the picture that they posted when Lacey was missing, pregnant, in a beautiful dress, sitting in a chair at a Christmas party, okay? That same evening, they juxtapose the picture, they later find out, the media does, of Scott in the car with his arm around the sleazy massage therapist. That's, with apologies to Amber, although not really. Him turning around at about a 0.15,
right.
And he's out with the girl saying, I'm unmarried or I'm a widower. So those two pictures side by side, the women can't get over. They can never get over those images.
Yeah, and I was that,
you were
woman,
that woman.
But the last two episodes, and I'm majorly paraphrasing here, are just one after another of evidence that is wrong, that things that they got wrong, and Mark going, yeah, I know. I don't know how that was admissible either. Yeah. I mean, for two episodes.
Well, give us, I'd like to get a t-shirt made up that just says, your heart is always wrong. Because women,
stencil that
women
on a
think
pillow.
Like, hey, I know, like, I got a video. It's like, how's it been serving you for the first 47 years of your life? Like, Did you know before your husband cheated on you? Did you know in your heart when you were getting married?
That was my journey, Adam.
When you had your Camry repossessed, is that something you knew in your heart? When you lost the cleaning deposit to your second apartment after the divorce, after your first husband cheated on, is that something you knew about in your heart?
Look, can we talk about trembles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so let's... Gina,
yeah.
You tell me, like, all right.
Gina was, right, you were, I don't say this in a derogatory fashion, it's just anecdotally this,
right.
You were the target audience.
Yeah, I mean, I was four, but I totally understand
right,
what you're saying.
So let's say you and I are alone in an elevator.
Oh, okay.
It's just you and I.
Okay.
The elevator's broken down, but it's going to be fixed in 6 minutes.
And it's hot. It's a summer day.
It's hot.
It's musky.
We're the only two in there. My back's against the wall. Her bosom is against my chest. She's pushing me. And she has
You're down
six,
to what you can wear already. You're already down to the bare minimum.
She has 6 minutes to explain to me why Scott Peterson is not guilty.
Hold on, let me text Mark Garrigan.
Look, I know we're headed up to work.
No, seriously, though, I'm not an expert. I watched it over a period of a couple weeks. I can just say that the first couple episodes, it's all about what we all know, what we all agree that he was guilty, and everyone who thinks he's not is an idiot. The last two episodes are, here is all of the evidence that they submitted that a jury saw that was not correct, that was either wrong or an outright lie. And then you cut to Mark Garrigan, who's like, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how that got in.
Well, no, I know some of the broad strokes.
And I'd love to talk about Trembles the dog.
Right. So yes. The dog evidence was unbelievable. So we
That's
do a motion.
Favorite.
I say to the judge, before the trial starts, they have what are called motions in limine.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Do you, maybe you can't answer this, but when you hear a story about Scott Peterson, somebody says, I want you to take this case. Do you have to decide, is he innocent? Can I win this case? Like,
you know, the interesting thing about that case is when I was on TV commentating at the time on CNN. I've been on CNN for 20 years. So I had said when the bodies washed up on shore, I said, you know, that's devastating for him because that's exactly where his alibi was. There's a lot of guys in state prison for a lot less evidence. His parents saw that, called me up. And we're irate. But anyway, one thing led to another. They're in my office. And so we're talking with them. And then I was intrigued. And then I talked to my father after they said, we want you to represent him. And I said, you know, and Pat Harris, who was in the documentary as well, Pat told me, you're crazy. I mean, you know, you're coming off of, you know, hadn't lost a case in seven or a trial in 7 years. Why do you want to do this one? It's a no-win situation. If you win, you're the white Johnny Cochran. If you lose, you're a pariah and you've got no career. And so I was talking to my old man who had had a stroke, a second stroke, but was still firing. And he says, if you're going to worry about your career or your reputation, you're in the wrong business. And why did you become a criminal defense lawyer in the first place? And so I said, you know what? You're right. So I took it. But I had never seen anything like the craziness that was around that case. I mean, before or since.
Well, let's just say we're trapped in the same elevator. Yeah. I'm pushed up against the wall. Your wrecked penis is in my belly button.
That's because.
And I want to know. From Mark Garrigus, before the repairman shows up and moves this elevator, I need you to convince me in 5 minutes why Scott Peterson is not guilty of this crime. Hold on. I'll let you collect your thoughts.
That was a good tease, wasn't
really
it?
Good.
First, Undercover High, man. Groundbreaking new docuseries gives a no-holds-barred view of life in the mind of today's American high school teens. It premieres December 10th, 12 episodes. Seven young adults from different cultures, and they're actually 21 to 26, but of course they can pass off for high school seniors, embed themselves for a semester in Topeka, Kansas's Highland Park High School.
Do they bus them?
they embed themselves. They go undercover. They go as typical students. They attend classes. They don't know that their own is undercover as well. They make friends. They participate in clubs and activities. The participants are unaware of each other. Only school administrators and select community folks in the community, members of the community, know the true identities. Premieres October 10th on A&E.
They used to do that, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they used to do that. And when we were growing up in high school, they used to embed narcs in
21 Jump Street.
Yeah, that was what they did.
Before that, there was a, like, Sean Cassidy or David Cassidy, like, movie of the week, like, Undercover High School or something. They take 25-year-old dudes and send them to...
Yeah, if you look too young when you join the police department, they go, we got a job for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, so 5 minutes. I'll give you this. The...
penis is still erect.
The... Yes, because I was wearing my Tommy Johns. So the coroner testified, as I cross-examined him, how did she die?
David Cassidy, man undercover.
There you go.
Sorry, as Gary checked the internet.
Coroner doesn't know when she died, doesn't know how she died, doesn't know the manner in which she died, and can't give you a modality or anything else. So there was no finding. I said, you listed it as a homicide on the coroner's report. Why? And the cops basically leaned on me and said, make it a homicide. Okay, got that. Then, by the way, people always say, and this was the most devastating thing to me initially before the case. They found the body where he had the alibi. I said, well, this guy may be the dumbest human on the planet. Why is he? Cops did not believe his alibi at first. Nobody seems to understand this. They said, you wouldn't go fishing. Nobody goes fishing on Christmas Eve day. That's an impossibility. Well, and he kept saying, no, here's this. This is where I stopped for gas. And so they pieced it together. Yes, he proved that he was fishing on Christmas Eve day.
So basically, so we'll just stop and kind of drill down a little here. If I decided to kill Lynette.
Right. And you're going to dump her body
in Angeles Crest Highway.
No, Devil's Gate Dam.
Devil's Gate Dam.
Devil's Gate Dam. Walking distance. That's walking distance from the house.
I mean, she's going to be heavy, but it's... And then later on, when she went missing and people are questioning me, I wouldn't say, hey, I was hiking up the Devil's Gate Dam.
Right.
It'd be weird. I would say I went up Angeles Crest Highway. I'd go the other direction.
I was at the warehouse. Gary's my alibi. Right.
Okay. Anything but Devil's I went Gate to the Dam. Place where you might find the body in the future.
Now, if I killed Lynette, but I wanted to put the focus on you, and you, and it caught, because Ace is accused, he's a person of interest, and it turns out he's stuck in an elevator with Gina, and there's a picture of two of them or something like that. And so all the focus is on you. You didn't want to be married anymore, whatever. She was making too much money on Corolla drinks. Any crazy thing that you want to come up with. What I would do as the real murderer, I know now that they've publicized the fact that that Adam says he was here, or I mean, you would never in a million years say you were at Devil's Gate, right?
Right.
If you said you were at Devil's Gate, what would I do? I'd go find the body. I'd go dump it at Devil's Gate.
So if the body was in the forest, where the real killer left it, the real killer would then go put it in the lake.
Go put it in the lake
at Devil's Gate.
At Devil's Gate. If you said your alibi was here at the warehouse, somebody'd open the my car door with the trickle charger, and they'd find the body right there inside.
So interesting. So your theory. Oh, sorry. I'll let you continue.
Okay. So that was, I thought, the most devastating. Then there was all the rumors about he killed her in the house. She was killed on the 23rd.
Can I ask very quickly? How much of this for you is a kind of a experience, reps? You know, I did Loveline for a million years. Twice a week, some 17-year-old guy would call and he'd say, I'm having sex with my best friend's mom. And Drew and I would always look at each other like, yeah, right. And then I would always ask, the first time, what happened? And he'd say, I went over to her house. I was looking for Timmy. He wasn't around. She invited me into the house. And then I would say, what was she wearing? And if he said lingerie and stockings and a garter belt, I'd always dismiss it as BS.
Well, I saw that porno too.
Yeah,
right?
But if they ever said she was wearing a Franco Harris jersey, she was a huge Steelers fan, like from the 70s, and just, I don't know, pants, I don't know what color they were, I would always believe them because it was specific and it didn't fit the narrative.
Plus, this guy.
So, how much of that for you, who sniffed 1,000 of these panties?
When I
how much the serial panty sniffer,
an elevator stuff all over the country,
doesn't pass the sniff test. Like, how much of you goes? Nobody ever says this is where I was, and then the body shows up there.
The thing that irritated me the most is when I saw the, and they showed this in the series. Gina probably saw it. The crowd when they drove him in after they had arrested him. And that reminded me of something out of the Jim Crow South. I mean, I'd never seen anything quite like that.
A lynch mob.
Lynch mob. And it was crazy. And so then I went up and I met him in the Stanislaus County Jail. And I talked to him and I knew within, under your smell test, I knew within 45 seconds, there's no way this guy doesn't have the capability, he doesn't have the wherewithal. It's just not, it's not true.
Well, it's not a whole lot different, I don't think, then I sit down with guys and they go, well, I'm pretty handy around the house. I do. And then they start telling me a couple of projects and I'll say to them, like, what'd you use or what kind of fasteners you use? And then I know immediately I can rank them. Novice, expert, usually always wildly disappointing. But just sit down and talk. Just because it's my business, I get it. Like, I understand it. Like, you can sit down and talk to somebody, and they can start explaining to you, and your sniffer will tell you.
I can't tell you how many times a client has wanted to tell me the facts. I usually tell them I don't want to hear it. I want to see what the prosecution's got first, because if you start telling me a story, then I'm wedded to that story, and ethically, I can't put you on the stand. So I want to know what the facts are first before I start plumbing it. But in what inevitably happens when I start drilling down is the client will tell me something. And I'll say, okay, look, I'm never going to be able to sell that. I don't buy it. Why are you trying to sell it to me? And then they'll go, okay, well, then this. And I said, come on, dude. I don't have all day, and I've got a short attention span. Just tell me the truth. And I had one case where the guy in the third time tells me the story, and it was because he was so embarrassed about what the reality was. He had a defense to the case, but he didn't even understand it. But he was mortified that he was this guy. And so I said, well, you could have just told me that. And I know, but it was embarrassing, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I mean, you just know, and what's his name calls it the 10,000 hours principle.
Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, Malcolm Gladwell. It's the same thing. I mean, once you do it for a period of time, you understand it. This guy has no ability, capability, nor he's not a brain surgeon. Look, they never found a scene. I mean, the prosecution started. I started the case, trying this case in opening statement, showing that they were, remember, they chronicled this. He claimed that Martha Stewart, he watched
that.
Martha Stewart. And I said, so I sit down and I watch the Today Show because they say the Martha Stewart segment was on the 23rd. And so therefore he was lying about the 24th.
It was their first big aha, gotcha, Mark and Scott moment. There was no Martha Stewart on that day.
So I played it twice in opening. I said, I'm playing it a second time because maybe Detective Brocchini can finally watch the entire episode and see Martha Stewart was making meringue. So I literally, they started saying she was dead on the 23rd. Okay, well, where was she? She had to be in the house. They combed that house with every scientific forensic piece of evidence you could ever want. I mean, you should hope that when somebody kills you, they put this much effort into it. They found zip, not a nothing. And so there was nothing there. They went into the warehouse. They claimed, oh, her hair was in the boat. She didn't know about the boat. Okay. So therefore he must have transported the body where there was no crime scene to the boat in the warehouse. You know, there's starting to be some boat in the warehouse.
Yeah,
you gotta warehouse.
Get a boat.
It's uncomfortable for Lynette.
then I start going through the reports. There's 40,000 pages of reports. Well, when they went to get the search warrant, Detective Brocchini had taken the report where a witness had been interviewed, a woman who walked into the warehouse and saw Lacey in the boat 2 weeks before. And he had just taken it
out. Dead as a doornail.
He'd just taken it out. He'd excised it. He literally just pulled it out of the report so that he didn't have to disclose it, thinking I wasn't going to look in the other reports. And so that explained, of course, there was a hair. She was sitting in it. I mean, you know, what does that tell you?
And can we please talk about Trembles?
Okay, so before the trial starts, I'm looking through, and they've got all this dog scent evidence. And I'm thinking,
dog scent evidence?
Yes, dog scent evidence.
What is that?
They brought out bloodhounds to trail her. And the bloodhounds went in every single direction. I mean, you name it, the bloodhound went. One bloodhound went down to the park. Another one went up the street. Then they started surmising that she was in the back of the truck. He didn't hit on the truck. And it was just nonsense. Then they took the dog maybe 3 days later, 4 days later, I don't remember what it was, up to the marina. And they have the dog running up and down the pier.
Trembles.
And they act like, and the dog is running up and down the pier, and the operator of the dog, the canine handler, handler says, "Ah, the dog hit. She was here." And I'm thinking, really, I've been to this marina, and you know, I don't. This may be Uber dog or something, but I don't think this dog is smelling her 4 days later. So we start to do some investigation, and sure enough, I find out that Trembles, the dog, on its train, they have to videotape when they train the dog, and they do a thing where they take a woman and they kind of pretend to kidnap her, put her in a van, and they then take a piece of her clothing from her house, and they test the dog to see when the van drives off. Well, they did that with Trembles. This is on his training exercise. And Trembles went in the opposite direction, and it's all on video. And the judge says, well, we'll leave that up to the jury. It doesn't go to weight. It goes to weight, not to admissibility.
And they said that Trembles was wrong like 75% of the time.
Yeah.
So as an attorney.
So you attacked the dog?
Well, I also said, you know, this is 10 years before a case called Crawford where the late Justice Scalia said you couldn't just put nonsense in without there's a right to cross-examination. And I was arguing 15 years ago, who am I supposed to – I'm supposed to cross-examine this crazy woman who – and she was crazy, the dog handler – who's interpreting in her brain what the dog is thinking? I mean, what planet am I on?
Why didn't the judge say that's not admissible?
The judge, and he's passed away, and I like him, and I always speak highly of him.
Why'd you kill him?
Yeah.
You like him so much, Mark. That's your real name.
He's here in the warehouse.
He was in your boat.
He was in your boat. One of the things that was told to him when he got the case was we got a motion for change of venue granted, and he was brought in from Alameda County. And I tried that case for a hung jury. I said, there's no way that any jury is ever going to agree on a not guilty and walked out of there because they'd be hung. They'd be lynched. But I thought, based on the fact that I had a guy who was a doctor and a lawyer in the jury panel, and I suspected he'd be the foreperson, I thought he would bring some semblance of rationality to it. And so he did become the foreperson, and I thought I had a hung jury. And somebody sent this to me this morning, if I can find it. On day 7 of the deliberations.
He's looking at his Android because he's a cheater.
Yeah. And here's what he told the judge. When I took the oath, this is on day 7, where he says he's being threatened by other jurors.
This is the four person of the jury.
When I took the oath, I understood it to mean that I needed to be able to weigh both sides fairly, openly, and given what's transpired was as he had reported his life had been threatened by two of the other jurors. And given what's transpired, my individual ability to do that, I think, has been compromised to a degree that I would never know personally whether or not I was giving the community's verdict, the popular verdict, the expected verdict, the verdict that might, I don't know, produce the best book. That was what he said. So I say to the judge, okay, let's bring in the two jurors who threatened him. Judge says, no, I'm removing him. He just said he can't be fair. And he removed the foreperson. That was a Wednesday evening. Thursday was a court holiday. Friday, they inserted Strawberry Shortcake, who walked into the jury deliberation room, and they had a conviction within 30 minutes.
What is your – I'm going to tease this. So predictions. Now, he obviously – now he won't come up for parole, but – and he's been incarcerated
since 2003 – he's got a fully briefed, what's called a habeas, and a fully briefed appellate, both by Cliff Gardner, who's spectacular, and it's just waiting for the Supreme Court to give him a date for oral argument.
For the folks, in terms of my wiring, yes. Everything for me is what threat does he or she pose to me, my family, friends, and community.
Yeah, how many wives does he have?
It's my sort of Menendez.
I was just going to say it's your Menendez.
It's kind of my Menendez thing. Now, the scariest people in the world are the guy that's incarcerated because he was running through the subway hitting people with a hammer on the back of the head. Like that person, Now, that was like, he didn't kill anybody, so he got 6 years, or whatever it is.
How about the guy who goes through the subways in New York and just pushes people the oncoming
subways? Those third rail.
People, yeah. I want put into one of those air cannons where they shoot birds into jet engines to test the metallurgy of the jet engines. That's what I want done with that individual, because I don't want that individual ever to see the light of day, because if he can just randomly walk up to people and push them into subway cars or hit them with hammers, that is the definition scariest person on the planet. The Menendez brothers, that's between them and God and their deceased parents and whatever.
Have you ever
predict
done
they're going to do more when they get out.
Have you done the rap on ACS about Natalia and Sonny and the Menendezes to give the
It always
full
cracks
picture?
Lynette up.
Oh,
but
God.
You haven't heard this?
Oh, I'm scared.
I've always be
Adam's
prepared.
Kind of very
Which one's Lyle?
Look, pretend
obvious.
You and I you and I are trapped in a hot tub.
Just the thinnest of clothing separating you.
And we only have 2 days. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John, because that's what I'm going to be wearing if I'm in a hot tub with Gina Gray. And I'll tell you why. I'll get to it down the page a little bit first.
When you get out, it dries instantly.
Dries instantly. No, 21st century men's underwear crafted from ultra-light, breathable fabric, and it moves with you. No riding up, no bunching. This stuff is the best, especially if you're going for a walk or jog or bike ride or working out or whatever. Put those Tommy Johns on first. And here's why I don them in the jacuzzi. Time-saving, patented horizontal quick-draw fly.
Ooh.
It's horizontal. Wow.
Lucky lady.
Yeah, man. Sounds like a bullwhip snap when that thing opens up. Plus, socks that never roll down, and shirts that stay tucked in, and they never come untucked. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guaranteed. Man, it is the best. It's Tommy John Dawson.
Use code Adam at TommyJohn.com now for 20% off your first order. That's Adam for 20% off at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
All right. So, okay. I have said to Lynette, and I think I'm now at the point where I'm saying it in front of the kids. If Natalia, and she will instigate, there's no doubt. She's proactive. But if she comes in on a Friday and says to Sonny, hey, I'm thinking about blowing away mom and dad while they eat Haagen-Dazs and watch TV. And Sonny says, what night? Then Lynette and I deserve it.
Yeah. You're culpable to an extent. Yeah,
I would hope that Sonny would immediately march to our bedroom, wake Lynette up.
Say, Mom!
Mom, guess what Natalia is planning on doing with Dad's new double barrel?
And Natalia goes, Sonny!
But if Sonny says, what time? Well, then maybe we haven't done either nature or nurture. Yeah. Maybe we haven't done the finest job with the kids.
That's a very good point.
So my feeling with Peterson is, 15 years, we all know guys that have done a lot less for a lot more. And I'm looking at the posed threat. What is he? Is he 53 now? Or
no, he's younger than that. I think he's younger than that. I want to say in his 40s. I was supposed to see him in December. I was up there doing a parole hearing
44.
For somebody else.
44.
Yeah.
Wow. So he's in since he was 20. He was in his 20s.
Yeah.
Then, is that, I get that right? Yeah. The other thing is, Dawson's got a question for Mark. Hold for 1 second. I'm also very with the sniff test. If you can kill somebody, we will see things in your past. You know, like when you do the OJ trial and you have the 911 calls of
pattern.
Nicole, like screaming, he's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. That means something to me.
Gina will tell you from the docuseries, one of the things that they did, because it didn't make sense, nobody could figure this out, is exactly that, Adam. They started saying, well, he was at San Luis Obispo, and somebody went missing, and so therefore, did he kill twice? And there was headlines, and it was, everybody assumed the same thing. I hate to say the white professional woman test. You know, if he did it once, he did it before, and I know he did it, and blah, blah, blah. And turned out that the woman went missing, and he wasn't even on campus.
Just trying to connect dots that were unconnectable.
Dawson.
Yeah, Mark, I've read the book, as you know. And
you've actually spoken the book.
You say several times that you have tremendous respect for Judge DeLucchi, but I'm just wondering how that's possible when he made so, it seems to make so many mistakes during the case. Like, you got, you bought the same model boat as Scott Peterson. You brought out all the weights that supposedly were used to sink Lacey down and had your assistant try to throw a 150-pound bag out of a boat with these 400-pound weights, and it capsized every time. The judge wouldn't introduce that as evidence, but he let the jury stand in the boat
on ground,
on pavement.
Yeah.
And rock around. And I
just don't understand.
It wouldn't tip. Every
because if you practice criminal law for any period of time, and I say this even though whenever you're a racist, you say some of my best friends are blacks or some of my best friends are – Adam always says some of my best friends are Armos.
Before I launch in on a tirade.
Yeah, before he launches into Glendale Armos. But the judiciary, unfortunately – carries the water for the prosecution in 98% of the cases.
The judge is working with the prosecutor.
See, my father used to call them prosecutors in a robe, DA in a robe. And, you know, there was a period of time when if you were a defense lawyer, you would never be appointed to the bench, that you had to have prosecutorial bona fides in order to be on the bench. And Jalouki didn't, I mean, his only agenda was he wanted a verdict. And that's where I was headed before. He told me privately that he had been told in no uncertain terms, this case is not going to hang. You need to get a verdict here. Well, there was never going to be a not guilty verdict. The best it was going to be was a hung jury. And I tried the case to a hung jury. There's ways that I probably had more hung juries than anybody breathing, because there are ways that you can pick a jury so you know it'll be a hung jury if you feel, for whatever reason, that you're never going to get a not guilty verdict because of the public, because of the charges, because your client is a dipshit. And I mean, there's just a multitude of reasons.
Well, and they said there was no way, there was either no money or whatever. They weren't going to be able to secure the jury, to
sequester the jury
for that long. They said, so go home, live your life, watch TV, read the paper, and talk to your friends.
Well, during jury selection, I've told this to Adam on Reasonable Doubt, during jury selection, there was actually a billboard truck circling the courthouse as the 1,600 various jurors came in, where you could vote man or monster, and it was a picture of Scott in a orange jumpsuit, and so everybody who came into the courthouse.
Two choices.
It's good marketing.
Man or monster. It was a radio station, terrestrial radio.
All right. So, a couple questions on this subject. First off, switching gears. Where's Bill Cosby going to go? What's the future of Bill Cosby?
Bill Cosby has got an uphill battle, even though I think that case is, I've said before, I think the case was a feeding frenzy, and I always hate, I'm anti-feeding frenzies. And I think that they're going to retry it. He got rid of his previous lawyer, Brian Monahan. I think that was probably a mistake. Brian is he knows that area. That geographical area. That's something that's really important. You can never emphasize enough. Jury selection is 90% of the game in trying a high profile.
You knew when he got two blacks on the jury that he'd be hung or quitted or whatever.
I knew, given the evidence that I had seen of that case and given the racial composition, I just didn't think they'd ever get a verdict.
It's funny. They went after Alan Dershowitz the other day. Or the other week, because he talked about the racial makeup of a jury as taught to him by Johnny Cochran. And of course, the hard left called him a racist. It's weird.
I've known Dershowitz for maybe 30 years. You can't find a less racist guy than Alan Dershowitz.
We're getting to a very dangerous point in our society where professionals can't render their opinions anymore because they're going to be called something.
If you address the issue of race, you can paint with that paintbrush.
Or there's a few subjects, but either way, don't we want the professionals speaking freely and giving their professional opinion? Yeah. Like, do we want some Dershowitz, do we want him stifled because he's scared he's going to be called X,
Can
Y,
you imagine
or Z?
If you do that to your doctor? Doctor, what's the matter with me? I really can't tell you because it's not politically correct. So
I don't want you to get upset at me.
Yeah.
So a couple of quickies.
Yeah. Some of my best friends are blacks.
Let me finish, Mark.
Mark, we get it. You're progressive.
Ever since
strange.
Every time we talk to you about this, and we talk about the jurors, and you talk about the foreman, and you talk about the judge, and especially the cops and the DA and everything, it seems as flawed as human beings are. And, you know, it's funny, even lucid human beings who are intelligent, who don't have a who don't have a dog in the fight, if Jimmy and I, if I attempt to tell a story about season one when we went to Cancun and we're doing the Best of the Man show, he'll interrupt 15 times and goes, no, that's not, we didn't, no, we drove to the airport together. I didn't meet you at the airport. Like, it'll be a completely different, I don't know who's right and who's wrong, but we can't even get near to the same story.
You're both there.
And we're both there, and we're mostly sober, and we're not trying to convict each other. It's just we have different versions of what happened, and I understand that's pretty prevalent. So, all that being said, when and you tell me how flawed the system is, when Dr. Drew showed up to Loveline in 2002 and he explained he'd taken a functional MRI test to see what part of his brain, you know, the way it works is you get in the functional MRI thing and you can show the person who's in it a picture, you know, show Gina Grad a picture of a kitten and parts of her brain will light up.
The angry part.
And if they show you a picture.
If you show a picture of Scott Peterson to Gina, we could have done an MRI before and after.
Before and after. That would be very interesting. Yeah. And if they show you child pornography and it goes off like a pinball machine, I don't care what the priest says when he's done with the MRI. I don't want him looking over my flock. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. And so considering we're learning about the brain like we're learning about the very deep depths of the ocean. You know, they're unexplored. Mm-hmm. We knew more about the heavens than we did about what was going on in the Marianas Trench. And now we've learned more in 10 years than we've known in the previous 1,000 years and Earth's existence. Right. We're doing the same with the brain. Can't we get to some sort of world standard where Scott Peterson just slides in? Of course, it doesn't recognize skin color. Or we'll have a separate machine for the blacks, obviously.
Some of my best friends are black.
And they'll go into the black labeled machine. But the point is, we'll have one for this. We'll have three only. We'll have the Hispanic one. We'll have the black one. And then we'll have the one for whites, Asians, and Eastern Indians. And those can go. Can't we just come up with a world standard? Like, put everybody on this and go, we'll put him in. Here's the agreed upon questions. You're his counsel. You're allowed to agree. The prosecution's allowed to ask him these questions. And when we're done, we will have a scientist look at the data, and that shall be that.
Then you would there'd have to be an elimination of the Fifth Amendment, because you can't force somebody in a criminal case to take the stand. You can't force them to testify, and this would be testimonial.
Ugh. Interesting.
Stupid Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
Right. Still roadblock. I'm all for the Constitution, except when it's nettlesome.
I know every Tom Cruise movie starts off with this sort of good-hearted,
that's right,
good intentions, and ends up gone wrong. Uh-huh. But I feel like I would use this for OJ. I'd use it for Scott. I would use it for Menendez. Like, I would use it for everybody.
Well, it's an interesting concept, because still, both federally and in the state of California, some jurisdictions don't have this, but there's a prohibition. There's an evidence code section, and in both, 351, I think, in California, which says you can't use a polygraph. But I will tell you that even though I don't think polygraphs are 100% accurate, I think they are good in certain cases. And what I will do is I will give, if I think a client is not good for the particular crime, especially if it's a divorce case and all of a sudden the allegation of a child molest has taken place where the mother wants more support or something like that, I'll put the guy in a polygraph. And if the guy passes the polygraph, I will then file that with the court in a motion to have it admitted. Now, there is a code section that says it's not admissible, but I think that's helpful.
Wow. I'd like to tease a question for Mark, which is there a difference between passing and not passing? Do you put more weight in one or the other if the person doesn't pass the poly or does pass to Polly, is one more accurate, or would you tend to believe it more if the person didn't pass or more if the person passed? Is that confusing?
No, that makes sense.
Okay.
Can I add something to that?
Yes.
Just in case it wasn't confusing enough. Beta blockers, Xanax, people use things to try and calm
blood
down
test
so they can
before,
cheat
urine
it.
Urine test before the USADA comes in and tests before that, which is either a sanctioning board or an elite Israeli fighting team. I don't
way,
know.
Get ready.
Yeah. Oh, and I do want to finish with Cosby, too, because I'm predictions. Cosby, okay. Cosby predictions, Peterson predictions, and dates attached to those as well. Forza Motorsports 7 on Xbox One. It is out tomorrow exclusively on Xbox One. And Windows 10, collect and race 700-plus cars, including the Le Mans-winning Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe. Love that ride, man. And the Ford GT40 is seen in my movie, The 24-Hour War, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, if you're checking. Gorgeous graphics, 4K resolution, 60 frames per second, 30 famous destinations, including Laguna Seca, Sonoma, Long Beach. All the tracks I've raced at recently. Watkins Glen, legendary Monza and Nürburgring. Buy the digital version and get the Hoonigan car pack featuring Ken Block's 1965 Mustang Hoonicorn for free. Very cool piece. I saw the car in the flesh when we were shooting a spot for Forza. Need an Xbox One? Buy a select Xbox One and get bonus. Get a bonus game for free. How about that? Check Xbox.com. Xbox.com for details. Take the lead with Forza Motorsports 7. Out tomorrow. All right. So predictions on Cosby and Peterson and any dates.
Peterson, I don't think they get a, like I mentioned before, they fully briefed the habeas petition, which is stuff they've developed since then. For instance, the Lieutenant Aponte call, they never turned that over. That was a phone call that had come from the Chino prison where one guy is talking to his brother and he's saying, don't mention the fact that we ran into Lacey Peterson. They sat on that evidence and didn't give it to us. I don't think that gets heard by the Cal Supreme Court until next year at the earliest. Cosby, I don't think gets retried until next year. And I think that may depend on his health. I think he's angling for a health issue already. And I think, you know, he's no young spring chicken. So I'm not so sure that gets retried again anytime soon, if ever.
I just, the notion that it didn't work out the way you would have liked it to work out as the DA, so you get to announce, well, let's redo it again. Let's give me a mulligan.
Yeah.
Let's do a retake.
I mean,
such a weird, and at, you know, $10 million a pop of taxpayer money. Right. Like, it just seems like an abuse of power to me.
I know. And you would think, a lot of people ask, well, why doesn't double jeopardy apply? Because jeopardy did attach, but you didn't get a verdict. So it's an unsatisfying result. But I've actually made the argument that a hung jury, and usually judges are supposed to analyze what the split is and what the quality of the evidence is. So if it's 11-1 for not guilty, which, by the way, it was for the sheriff, Lee Baca, normally a judge would dismiss that case. In that case, in Lee Baca, they did not. They retried him and he got convicted. And I think that's, you know, there's something wrong with the system when that happens.
So when Scott Peterson walks out and give us a date. Do you think Scott Peterson is going to walk out of prison because Gina's got to buy a wedding dress and get over to Gina?
Oh, my God.
She'll be waiting there in an Uber.
Can I start a Tinder profile quick?
Maybe we'll bring Drew in to do the MRI for a...
Oh, he's at San Quentin, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. No, he's at San Quentin now, but they will bring him down to Chino.
Come on, Gary.
Yeah,
I know how the system
he's
works.
He's a former federal prosecutor. He knows what goes on.
Don't bring that in.
He's very modest.
Adjunct professor at Loyola Marymount and Rear Admiral.
We know your bona fides.
Yeah. I added that.
He did add that. But I want to do the MRI and see where, because maybe you get titillated now.
I'd like to know, too.
Yeah.
Are all questions on the table?
Yeah.
So it's just stop raising questions?
So, all right. So he hits Scott Peterson's feet see freedom on what date?
I'm going to say 2019.
So a year and a half from now.
Yeah, a year and a half. I mean, the hardest part of that prediction is when does the Cal Supreme Court hear the case?
Right.
They're there. We're waiting to get a date. I think it's a there's no such thing as a no-brainer, but if you were betting, if you could bet on results, I would bet.
Yeah, you can, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's offshore accounts.
All right.
It's offshore sites.
You did have a question about the polygraph that was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the polygraph, yeah, sorry. If your guy passes versus doesn't pass, what do you put more weight into?
Passes. There's a million reasons why you might not pass, but it's very difficult to pass. Plus, if you've got the right examiner.
It's very difficult to pass if you're innocent. If you're guilty, it's very difficult.
Correct.
Very difficult.
And if you've got the right polygraph examiner, that's crucial because also people don't know this if they haven't done it or been through it. 6 times out of 10, before they've even started the test, some of these polygraph guys will get a guy to break down and confess. I mean, I've had that happen. I can't tell you how many times.
So when you're just watching the news and you hear about somebody passing a polygraph, in your professional opinion, you go, I don't think that person's guilty.
I say at that point, somebody needs to reexamine the evidence with a critical eye.
They probably wouldn't have even taken the polygraph.
Well, there's that also, because one of the things, and that was also in the docuseries. Mm-hmm. Remember, they kept putting out that he wouldn't take a polygraph. And then there's the tape where he's saying, yeah, are they accurate? Sure, I'll take it. And that morphed into after they decided they were going to focus on him. And then that's another problem. Once you've got that kind of attention, that kind of emotion, there's no way you're going to pass.
The book is called Mistrial. It's voiced by our own Mike Dawson. Go to audible.com and collect that. Check out a little good sports, and we'll be right back.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Podcast One Sports Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla there. Another sports week is upon us. What's the poop, Ace Man?
The poop. I'll literally tell you about the poop.
Ooh.
You tell me what etiquette is here. And we should do a new segment called Is That It? Or Could You Have Done More?
Hmm.
In
relation specifically to bodily function?
You could probably spread it out to almost any facet of life, but in this particular case,
this is a good place to start.
The call will be, could I have done more?
Mm.
I took my 110-pound lab Philly cheesesteak for a walk not a half hour ago. I was walking around the neighborhood. Oh, damn it. I left a poop sack. Damn it. now I could have done more. I got to make a note. So he took a Duke on a lawn. I had the bag.
Duke, we're already talking sports.
Already
college
talking
basketball's
football.
In the news, and now we're talking. Okay,
hey,
here we go.
What's the name of the football? The Duke.
It's all sports.
It's all sports.
What more could you
it's
want from
all
us?
All sports. He took a Duke. Now, look, you want to talk about a good neighbor, I got a leash that has a little fanny pack attached to it that has the little bags on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be clear because it's not clear. It's like a fabric and embroidered. And I went out the other day and opened it to find it was empty. So
I
walked the dog home and then got in my car and drove back to the scene of the crime. Now you tell me, did I do enough or should I do more? Here's how it broke down.
Mm-hmm.
Took Phil for a walk. Phil took his Duke on the his deal is, I like to find the greenest lawn, but there's an algorithm with Phil. And he's a 110-pound dog, so it's not the, you know, Paris Hilton with the rabbit shit. This is big time, you know. His algorithm
grown
is...
grown up human-sized fecal matter.
Yeah,
right.
And then some. His algorithm is greenest lawn versus how many cars are in the driveway currently. He likes a full house. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if the lights are off and the windows are closed and the curtains are closed and there's no cars in the driveway, he just keeps walking.
If it's an event, yeah, like the thing that distinguishes the high-end thoroughbreds from the also-rans in the horse racing is performing in front of people. In other words, Phil is a high-end pooper.
But his whole thing is he's not going to hit a dirt lawn. But he's not going to hit a green lawn if there's no cars in the driveway.
You, yeah.
He's got a rhythm.
Showtime. Clutch.
Yeah, that's right.
He does it in the clutch with the eyes upon him, and that's what you want in life.
That's what he wants. So he drops the Duke on whoever has the greenest lawn and the most cars parked in the driveway. And then I have to then pick it up after him. And then later on in the walk, he finds a nice piece of lawn with a few cars in the driveway and does a Duke move, but it's liquid. At this point, there is nothing. There's nothing now. I blame myself. And the reason I blame myself is because Sonny had scrambled eggs this morning. He put a little Tabasco on the side. It's really one of the only things I like about the kid.
He does. I hail that move for a youngster, already knowing the pleasures of spice.
He puts a little to give our friend Dexter from the Offspring. He gives a little. Gringo Bandito, I believe is the name of his hot sauce. Good stuff. And he puts it on the side. And I see that there's some eggs left on the plate. I also spy that there's some hot sauce on it. And I throw it down on the floor this morning and tell Phil to mop up. And he eats the whole thing. Yeah, but now I'm thinking maybe the hot sauce didn't sit well with him.
That is on you. I know you gave Phil a moment of pleasure, for sure. So that's decent on your part.
But the hot sauce probably caused the liquefaction. Mm-hmm. And so now he's dumped something on this lawn that could not be cleaned up with a shop vac. It's just there's nothing you can do about it. It is.
How do you know? You're supposing that. Did you ever try to clean up liquid dog poop from green grass?
I'm staring at it, and it's already it's making its way down to the roots. And
sounds like someone's got a quitter's attitude.
Not
but
much
all right,
I can do. So I look around, and I find some soil, like some potting soil or something where they were planting or something, and I grab a handful of it like they do with a. Like they do with divots when they golf, you know what I mean? And I sprinkle it on top of the mess, sort of like kitty litter when your transmission leaks in the driveway or something like that. Mm-hmm. All I could do, or could I have done more, is what I'm saying to the people today.
I'm not saying this because I happen to be in the room with you right now. I think you have given a championship performance in our society that we're trying to conduct here, whereas others continue to fail us, Ace. That's the right move. These people who, I mean, it is very weird. And you're a celebrity, so it makes it an extra weird thing. But as I've said many times, how unusual is it that there are two species on this planet, and we bring the one species into our homes? You know, these people would just, you know, these beasts, otherwise, without humanity, they would, you know, where would they? What would dogs be? What would cats be in the animal kingdom? They may not even still be around. You know, they may have been weeded out by Darwinism, except that we bring them into our homes and we refer to them, some people even, as part of the family and all of that. And but this creature, for all our trouble that we put out for them, they make a mess and then we have to bend over and pick it up. I mean, we pick up. Think about that, Ace.
I think about it.
You're a celebrity.
Yep.
People look up to you.
That's right.
And you're bending down to pick up the mess of some beast.
Yeah.
What gives?
Well, I'll yes and. Number one, to all the people that hate cats, they dig a hole, defecate in it, and bury it. I don't know. There could be no greater tip of the cap to an owner of a pet than
and
I shall dig a small...
And they get rodents. Do you know that? People who have house cats, like they would never have rodents because...
I kill rodents, and I dig a small grave for my fecal matter and bury it. As a matter of fact, it's like the mafia. and Giant Stadium. You don't even know what's in there.
That's
a quid
pro quo.
You don't even know what's in your backyard.
Hey, yet, thanks, adult human. You for the food that you give me in the shelter, in return, I'll have the decency to mop up after my own mess.
You know, people are so insecure that they're number one, and I don't even know, I'm going to start a new segment called, Why Are You Sharing This With Me? You know, when people go...
Wait, I just want to make sure that we have this, because I remember from elementary school when they taught us how to outline. So, we're doing good sports, and then within that subsection,
yes,
could I do more, or is this enough? And then within that segment, what's this new subsection,
Why are you sharing this
okay,
all information
right, good. All right,
with
I'm up
me.
To speed.
There's people say... Oh, I don't like cats. And I go, oh, why not? And they go, because when I come home, my dog is happy. He's happy to see me. Mm. He comes up to me. He makes me feel good. The cat just sits there and looks. Oh, it's you. He doesn't come running up. He doesn't validate. Like, you need validation from something with a brain the size of a walnut. Like, that's your value. You're supposed to get your validation from
I'm vain, and I don't even want that. The cat gives me an ego check. If I had a big day, like, hey, what were you doing? Oh, what was I up to? Oh, cracking wise with comedy legend Adam Carolla. Ever heard of him? Like, cat wild. I don't care. Whatever, man. I don't care.
All right, and so let me just lay it out for those of you who want to do the cat dog balancing, you know, sort of the ledger, like which one, cat or dog? Let's forget about cat and dog. Let's just say you had two roommates. You could have one of two roommates. One roommate, when you got home, he was pretty laissez-faire. He dropped the sports page, look over it. Oh, yeah.
Sup.
Bring the pen.
Maybe
sup.
The head, maybe, the maybe, silent head toss.
Maybe you get
move.
The lazy what's up with combined to the sup, and maybe that. And that's about it. He might get into your honey bunches of O's every once in a while or something. Mm-hmm. But that's about it. But otherwise, decent enough guy. But he used the bathroom. The other roommate... The other whole, let me
I thought
finish.
It was going to be like, I thought the analogy was going to be like, but he does his own dishes. No. He just
the
uses
roommate,
the room I'm that's designated
I'm
for
poop.
I'm going
apples to apples. Road apples.
Poop to poop.
The other roommate showers you with affection. Like when you come home, it's like, oh my God, have you lost weight? Or, please, you said that to me yesterday. I couldn't have possibly lost
weight.
Yeah, just
real vapid compliments. Not really
excited.
Get deep into it.
Yeah.
Boy, the nuanced point you made
right,
on the no, not like that.
Yeah. Just have you, she's excited that you come home. Oh, I didn't know you were here. This
look,
is
you're
awesome.
Walking. Look, yeah. You can walk on both your feet. Like, yeah. Well,
yeah,
come on,
he
man.
Wants to know if you're tan, if you lost weight, if you got laid, if you got a haircut. There's something different about you. It's all working. But he just defecates everywhere, and then you have to come behind him with a bag and clean it up. What would you take? I ask you, Dave Damashek, which roommate?
You've posed a tough question here, Adam. I mean, both sides have virtues. Listen, I mean, here's the other thing. Let me just say one more thing.
Right.
I don't think this is yes and. This might be yes but. I don't even know what. Well, we're talking about butts already. Now, listen. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. And it's a controversial stance. People don't like it, but so be it, including Phil. Phil, if you're listening at home, plug your ears. I feel it's very weird that human beings choose. We understand. If you're lucid, you understand that your time on the big blue marble is limited. And within that time, if you're lucky, if you make it to 75 or 85 in life, part of the give that you're going to have to give to the world, to the universe, is watching others depart. You're gonna watch other people die. You see, you know, mm-hmm. people mortality, and you're gonna watch that. Why then bring in other creatures to your life that you hope die before you? The goal is I have children, and you know the worst thing I could ever do is have to deal with that. You're bringing lives into your life that you hope go before you. What kind of weird thing is that to put on yourself?
Yes, and you can't even eat them. Or would be in really poor taste.
Now that would be like, all right, we're fattening them up for the last 11 years. The feast is coming.
I just mean when inevitably it happens, the idea that this is protein is just being scattered to the wind. I know Chris Laxamana would eat Phil. There's no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. He eats shrimp tails. He would definitely eat Phil.
What about that, Ace? Would you complete the process? You know, it's like that old Simpsons episode with Pinchy the Lobster when Homer eats him in the last scene. Pinchy would have wanted it this way. All right, let's wrap it up there, Ace. I have a little quiz I want to give you tomorrow here because people say we don't talk enough sports. And if you just listen to the last 12 minutes, I don't know where you're coming from on that. Either way, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One, good sport.
Mistrial, an inside look at how the criminal justice system works and sometimes doesn't. Written by Mark Garagus and Pat Harris and narrated by Mike Dawson.
Here is the case against Scott Peterson. He was cheating on his pregnant wife with a woman in Fresno when his wife disappeared. He had seen this woman a total of 4 times. He lied to the woman about having a wife, and he lied to the police about his affair. 4 months later, the body of his wife washed up in a marina near where Scott had told the police he had gone fishing the day she disappeared. That is the case against Scott Peterson. Period.
Mistrial. Available now at iTunes, Audible, and AdamCarolla.com.
There are 120,000 unsolved murder cases in America.
It was the next day that I found out from my parents when it happened, that my sister was killed.
Each one is called a cold case.
Sometimes you have to look really closely to find the evidence.
Damn, I killed her.
Damn it, I killed her.
Cold Case Files, the podcast.
Garcia is walking into the home of a real monster.
I was nervous. I realized what kind of person I was dealing with.
It's a goosebump moment.
Download new episodes every Tuesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
Stupid is stupid dog.
If you said Forrest Gump.
Stupid is stupid does.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
All right. Rob Schneider had a little scheduling confusion, and he will reschedule and be in very soon. To be fair to him, he offered to come in 20 minutes or half hour, something like that. And I said, no, let's just pick another day in the very near future, and then we'll do a full freight Rob Schneider. So know that. All right, Gina's got the news, but first I'll tell you about Onnit, man. You've heard me talk about Onnit before. Amazing supplements like Alpha Brain. They got the Buffalo Meat Warrior Bars, MCT oil. I'll tell you, I'm such a badass. I just took a hit off of the container today.
Did not
pour it into a tablespoon and take it like the old castor oil. I literally just shot right off the bow.
That's hot.
No spoon Corolla.
No spoon Corolla. Tell that to Danny Two Sheets. Onnit CEO Aubrey Marcus did a take a knee. We talked about going from college athlete to running a multi-million-dollar health brand, and I'll let you listen to a little snippet of that.
You know, I had an experience. It was about the 10th time where ayahuasca took me down this path where it was like, you know what? Not only you're going to die, it's that you never mattered. It's like, mm-hmm. you're nothing. You're the gum on nothing's shoe. You're water borrowed from the ocean and the ocean forgot. You're completely worthless. And so I had to surrender. Like, even in my death, I had some idea like, well, I lived well. I'll leave a legacy. Some people will remember me. I was like, nah, bitch, you're nothing.
Yeah, they filmed the whole thing, and you can watch the entire podcast and a behind-the-scenes mini-doc free at onit.com/Adam. Onit.com/Adam. Go there, by the way. Get 10% off all the stuff, and especially that Alpha Brain and the MCT oil. Just good stuff. Vinny swears by it. So is Dr. Drew. onnit.com/Adam. Get 10% off. I had a thought before, I'm going to say.
Yeah. First Rob Schneider, now this.
I feel like we haven't been doing enough news. I feel like we should do the news with Gina Grad. I will share the thought with you tomorrow.
I'm so torn.
I love your news, and we haven't been doing enough.
All right,
let's do the news.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, we have a little breaking news. I'm sure there'll be more on this tomorrow. But for right now, O.J. Simpson was released from a Nevada state prison on parole early Sunday after 9 years of serving time for charges related to an armed robbery in 2007. Simpson, who's 70 now, left Lovelock Correctional Center at 12:08 a.m. local time in a late night release in order to avoid media attention. That's from PBS News, by the way.
There's got to be. All right. Well, a couple things. He claims to be broke, and then there's some tape that came out about him and his offshore accounts that had been circulating, which is like one of the guys he busted into the room said, I can't believe you're doing this. I set up your offshore accounts or something. We can look into that. There's like an underground everything. Like there's I bet you the Kardashians get X amount for showing up at X amount of events. Celebrities never want to talk about it. Sure. They never want to talk about it. The guys of the world that you don't think would ever sell out. I will bet you the band U2 has played 1,000 private events to the tune of tens of millions of dollars over the course of their career. It's not in vogue to talk about it. What they put out there is the private show for the fans over at CBGB's, or McCabe's Guitar Center. It's an acoustic set, 99. Right. But what they don't tell you about is the guy from the OPEC Nation who has the snot-nosed 15-year-old daughter, and they're paying you $5 million to fly out on a private jet. But they all do it. There's got to be some market for OJ at your party, right?
Absolutely. I'm laughing knowingly because I was just in Nevada as of the same time as OJ, literally 12 hours ago. Flew back this morning for the show, and I was staying with the friends. I told the story years ago, but their wedding was the one where Don Henley played the rehearsal dinner. And it's the last guy you'd think would show up and play like a private show for a friend's kid's wedding. But Don Henley was there and played all the hits. And I was in their house looking at like they have, memorabilia pictures and stuff like that.
This must be a Marin County family.
No, it's a Las Vegas family.
Oh, my.
I just said I was in Las Vegas.
Any idea what they paid Don?
I imagine it was a lot because Don played all the hits. Don did the show. Don, the autographed guitar and the picture and the set list was in their house. And it reminded me of it was a great show. Private Don Henley's show.
First off,
100 people.
There is no shame in this in my world.
He's a rich businessman. He's a rich businessman. Yeah. Don Henley.
This is what you're
a
big fan. If you can get this person to do this in your home or for your daughter or whatever it is, then God love you. And God love Don Henley. If he wants to take $50,000 for 80 minutes work, fine. Yeah. And he's earned it. They both earned it. Like that's the whole thing is they both earned it. And you can say to Don Henley how much, and he can go $10 million, and I get to bang the bride, and you can say no.
A little steep, but okay. We'll get back to you.
We're starting negotiations.
You can say to Don Henley, I'd like you to come over, no pay, but there's free brisket, and he can say no. Yeah. So I live in a world where they decided it's completely and utterly fine with me. That being said, OJ's going to need money.
Right.
And it'd be a pretty.
We're all USC fans.
It'd be a pretty strong move to have him show up at your party. Well, depending on the theme.
Remember, Dennis Hoff did invite him to be the greeter over at the ranch.
So it's a bright future for Jose.
Now, didn't you play somebody's backyard barbecue at one point?
I have played people's living rooms. Yeah. I've played their back. I have done that. Mm-hmm. I've also just one of the, you know, the guy was a huge fan. He was in Orange County. Mm-hmm. His wife gave me like $10,000 to go out on a Saturday night and just do 40 minutes of stand up in the guy's backyard and eat. Awesome. And I was like, all right.
Is it your birthday?
He was
10 grand in a dinner.
He was turning 40. I don't know, Mike, you know, Mike August figured it out. And I was like, yeah, fine. I'll go do stand up. It's weird doing stand up in someone's backyard for 40 minutes, but I because you're looking at his mom, his elderly mom and stuff like
the
that.
The crowd work takes on a different tone altogether.
Yeah, I shouldn't start with Ray and the Mulholland Club Anima story. Oh, we'll save that as a closer. Oh, there's videotape of me doing it.
This is a random part in the middle, but I have video of the whole night.
There were still two holes there, and I even backed out the bathrobe hooks that were in the master bath. And
installing a closet.
Pay between $20,000 and $35,000 to talk to this woman today, or the homeowners, because I have no
idea. All right, we're right in the middle of a story of.
Looks like a nice party. Yeah, they set up chairs and everything.
Listen, it was a nice, the great couple. The guy had a good time. I had a good time. Mike got a bunch of free food. I drove out to the guy's house. I hung out a little bit. Like I'm never beyond that, man. I come from a place where I was paid to shut up. Like my dad would be like, "Here's a nickel. Stop talking." The idea of getting paid to talk is something I will never get past. Oh, there appears to be a tape or recordings of somebody talking about setting up offshore accounts for Simpson.
Yeah.
Do you have it?
I believe Kaylin does, yes. Here we go.
I don't give a nobody puts a gun in my face. I stood up for that motherfucker while he's in jail. I stood up for him in the press. I stood up for him on the stand. I helped him set up his offshore accounts.
Yeah, he's got to have. So one of the victims of the robberies, like I guess new OJ, and it's like, I helped them set up offshore accounts.
Isn't that why he went to Florida in the first place? Because they couldn't touch his NFL pension if he lived there?
Everyone goes to Florida for all the wrong reasons.
You're right,
but
it's good business. There's always right. ways to
That sounds like
money.
A country song.
Everyone goes to Florida for all the wrong reasons. It's so true. And offshore accounts, and yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was originally sentenced to 9 to 33 years for the 12 convictions, having served the minimum sentence. The Nevada Board of Parole Commissioners at a hearing in July voted to grant Simpson parole October 1st and that he would be on parole for up to 5 years. So look out.
What would be everybody's posture if they ran into OJ? Like, I freely admit... I freely admit there's no way if I was in Billy Bush's situation, everyone loves to go, why didn't Billy just stop him and go,
"That's
excuse
not right,
me,
Mr. Trump.
I'm married and I have a daughter." And when I hear words like that, it disturbs me. And you can use those words, but you can't use them around me. Like, I would never. I would just keep going. I'd like, "Yeah, well, you forgot to drop a thumb in their taint."
Yes.
Yeah.
Right up top.
Woo! Like, I would never try to pretend that I would stop Donald Trump from saying that. And I hate everyone who says, if I were there, things would have been much different or whatever it is. No guy I know would ever say anything.
Right. No matter how against
ever.
It they were.
They could be insanely against it.
Yeah.
And they still never pipe up.
Move along.
Personally, I wouldn't be afraid for my safety if I met O.J. Simpson.
You would or
I would not be.
You would not. So, but here's the thing. Would we all say, I'd call him a murderer to his face? Or would we talk about joining his force?
I can't imagine, unless it's the aforementioned elevator scenario you were talking about. I can't imagine having interaction with him. Like,
what if,
like, there's OJ.
All right, let's just say you're at Riviera Golf Club.
Okay.
And it's a Tuesday, and you're alone.
And there's a threesome. You're in the threesome, and you desperately need that fourth. And here comes OJ.
No, he's got the threesome.
Oh, and
you're alone.
Okay.
And he asks you to join.
Okay.
Now, I would rationalize it and say yes, because that's good pod.
Mm.
That's a great answer.
Oh, that's almost like a write-off.
One of that answer.
And who amongst us, look, no one is saying you have to, you know, grab his balls and put it in the scrubber. It's an actual machine.
It's on the table, right?
But I'm saying, you could be douchey during that foursome. Would you join the foursome?
I think I would. The story would be too great.
The story and would be too, would you join story. The foursome knowing that paparazzi Ooh. Was at the fence taking pictures of you? There might be one of him handing you a Miller Lite
look
or something.
Look who's glad-handing like with OJ.
Bald yeah. Brian.
That's right.
Handing famous OJ USC fan. A beer.
I do.
SC fan. Diehard SC fan.
And a legendary OJ supporter.
Right.
I do think the part where you showed up and got placed in that foursome would be my out, but the story's too great. That's something you're going to tell us.
Wait, I showed up or you showed up?
One showed up.
One showed up. Yeah,
I showed up and got placed in that foursome as my, like, I don't even know the guy. I just work here. Is that whole, like,
no,
that?
You no? can't. Not with the whole, no, you can, most people go, why did you join that foursome?
And I'd be like, I tell this, yes, you would be looked at perhaps a little, not a little derisively, but the story's too great. I would do it. The story.
And
I golfed with OJ. It's a great story.
It depends how much you care about the rules of golf, because as we saw from the documentary, he's a famous golf cheater.
Oh, that's true.
So you would do it, and even
I
if
I wouldn't
it,
feel great about it, but
even if it was publicized on TMZ the next day,
yeah. Ruin your life.
I don't. Okay, I don't think it would ruin my life.
No, I agree.
You mean Christy would leave?
How about the two people that were in it? How about the two people he showed up with who were clearly his friends?
Yeah.
They're scumbags.
They're
not
scumbags.
You.
Not me.
Yeah.
No, it's a good story.
Okay.
I'd take whatever
I take
with
it too. Yeah. I would too. Gina?
I think it's different being a woman when it in terms of how you are going to be perceived. Mm-hmm. Some floozy flanking OJ, who's this harlot?
Yeah,
I don't know that I just don't think it's worth it. I love the story. I would love to tell you guys, run back here and give you some good pod. But for TMZ to go, first of all, he could do better. Do you think I need that in my psyche? I don't need any of this in my life.
And also, in order to golf, you have to put both hands on the grip.
Can't do it.
Gina can't do it.
Can't do it.
She can swing around above her head.
Yeah.
She's not putting that.
Right.
All right, next
story.
She
does a whirling dervish.
Well, speaking of which.
Chi-Chi Rodriguez. Oh, yeah.
You know Chi-Chi?
You don't know Chi-Chi.
No.
I'll tell you what. We'll find an action shot of Chi-Chi Rodriguez. By the way,
It needs to be a video.
I believe that Chi-Chi Rodriguez doing a sort of sword and stab move with his putter would be outlawed today. Like, that would be considered aggressive. And that people would say they feared, you know, that.
Yes, but there's a cultural passing.
Yes, that's true.
John
Daly couldn't. John Daly couldn't.
I can't wait to figure out what you're talking about.
All right, hold on. I'll tell you about LifeLock. Ah, by now you know about the Equa breach, right? The Equifax breach affecting 143 million Americans. That's like half the country, man. Thieves made off with their names, birth dates, official social security numbers, everything they need to open a credit card, get a loan on a mortgage in your name, man. Don't let it happen. You got to get protection. It's 2017, everybody. Let's get some LifeLock protection over here. Can we, people? The proprietary technology detects a wide range of identity threats and will alert you if your info is being used. And if there is a problem, the U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. Again, you're online all day, every day. You're ordering stuff. I think 80% of the stuff I bought. I think if you backed out groceries, mm-hmm. I'd be at 90% of
online.
Purchases are online these days. Your information is out there. Look, it saves you time and money, but you need to protect yourself. It's only about $10 a month. It's LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right. We can now watch what Chi-Chi Rodriguez Chi-Chi. Does after he sinks a 16-inch putt.
Oh.
Puts it back. Then he puts the sword back in a sheath. Then he pulls it out again. Then he puts it
Chi-Chi
back.
Rodriguez, the birdie at the ninth.
Oh, why don't I know about him? He's great.
I would. He's
80 years old by
I
now.
Would at least.
If he's alive.
I would. If I was his caddy, I'd be like, Chi-Chi, let's keep the sword play for 24-inch and over putts.
These are kind of gimmies.
Sinking the one my grandson with Down syndrome could do with a broomstick, probably not the big celebration. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Save it.
And it's going to take away from when you drop the 23-footer.
Yeah, that's what we want to see, the celebration. Right, the flair.
Right. That's good. Well, now that Hugh Hefner has passed away, many are wondering what's going to happen to the Playboy Mansion. Well, I can tell you. Hefner lived and partied in that 22-room mansion since he bought it in 1971, but he actually sold it to his next-door neighbor, billionaire investor Darren Metropoulos, for $100 million last year.
I love
year.
It when a developer billionaire guy has the right name. I don't even know if he's a... I decide he's a developer because Metropoulos.
Yes.
Good evil great villain name, too.
And
yeah.
One of the caveats was that
he's heir to the Pabst Blue Ribbon.
He's a PBR heir.
Yeah,
he's a young kid who likes to party.
Well, he must be.
He's 35 or something.
I
but
hate oh, my with dad that even
oh, no.
Wait a second.
Oh no! We're looking at a picture of a man whose hairline belies his age.
Yeah, he's got the comb over the dad had from Weird Science.
Oh my god!
Oh,
when
they
went to go visit. During that scene,
yep.
That is the
Candle
hair
wax on the nipples.
The plumbing contractor dad of Gary had the exact same comb over.
Oh, poor thing.
We're looking at a picture.
Well, one of the caveats, by the way, of him buying the mansion was that Hef could basically stay as a tenant and live there until he died.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. It seems Darren has plans to renovate it, maybe combine it with his own property, which would give him a whopping 7 acres of prime real estate in Holmby Hills, right next to Beverly Hills.
Yeah, it is. I've been there a few times, obviously. I forgot when he passed. I liked Hefner. I interviewed him a couple times. It's an open book. It's kind of an interesting dude. Like, I think I said to him, like, have you ever been with a dude? And he was like, yeah, I've been with dudes before. Like,
right.
It was kind of weird that that guy would be admitting that. But
I doubt it was one-on-one. I bet it was just a whole group activity. Maybe. But I could see it as just like a group activity in the sunken pit in the game room.
Yeah, you roll over and there's Jimmy Kahn.
Exactly.
He didn't phrase it that way. Like he didn't do the straight version of it as like, hey, when you've been in enough Roman style orgies, you're going to encounter other dudes. But that's when I was balls deep in this lass over here. Nah, it was kind of been around.
Good for him.
I'm not judging.
Okay.
Yeah. And, number one, number two, I forgot that. He was the roasting victim of the first roast I did on Comedy Central, which was just a couple of weeks after 9/11. So it was weird, me and Jimmy going out to New York to roast Hef. I have a couple memories. I remember on the way to the airport, Jimmy explained to me that his head was going to be on a swivel. We're sitting up in first class and nobody was getting past him. If anyone's making a run for that cockpit, there's before cockpit doors were reinforced,
he's
right?
He's playing free safety.
Right. There's nobody.
That's right.
Not in his house. We were taxiing. He was asleep. He was completely passed out while we were taxiing. So I just thought maybe he's trying to lull the terrorists into a false sense of security. But. By drooling.
He's really the air marshal.
He passed out completely by that time. But I still like where his heart was at.
Right.
Also, when we got out, this is one of the very rare occasions statistically that I think where I think this would you could say this is possible. We were walking like through the streets of Manhattan. I think his cell phone rang and it was Conan O'Brien's people. And they wanted Jimmy to be a guest on the show. And they were obviously out of New York. All of Hollywood is in L.A. And nobody's getting on an airplane and heading to New York right. while those buildings are still smoldering. Like they're literally still smoldering. Who's coming out? So obviously guests are a little bit hard to find for your New York-based show. So Jimmy said, I think just because I was walking next to him, but he probably have a different version of this story as well. But even we're just walking and he said, I'll do it with Adam. Like, I won't do it alone, but I'll do it with Adam because it's a lot easier to do a show in terms of preparation and that kind of stuff with your partner. And I think he said it because I was standing there, wanted to be cool about it or whatever. And they said, we don't do teams. We don't do partners. And
you're going to be real light on the guest tonight, though.
I remember thinking, first off, why? But then secondly, I know that's a lie because me and Dr. Drew did the show together a year or two before. So what are the chances that you're trying to float this lie, which would pass in 99.99% of celebrities because they didn't have another partner that they did the show with 2 years earlier as a team?
Right.
Like, there wasn't even any negotiations. Like, hey, you and Dr. Drew from Loveline shall come on here when we're on MTV, and this is, you know, 3 years later, whatever it was. But I remember everyone lies in show business now, I realize. They didn't like me because I went on alone about a year earlier and got a little raucous. And for some reason, they didn't like it. But I never got why a guest coming on the show, big energy, kind of engaging the crowd, stirring it up.
Sure.
I stirred it up. And they somehow thought, no. And I remember during the time, Conan was like going, you're on your own, brother. Like, and I just remember thinking, that's a puss move. I just remember going, when people come on Loveline or my show or whatever and kind of mix it up and burn some calories.
They're doing the heavy lifting.
I like it. And if they get into it with the audience or, you know, maybe they cause a little controversy or whatever, it's still them showing up and mixing up. Anything better than mailing it in or kind of going comatose or just going like, I don't want to do the pre-production. I don't want to be pre-produced or whatever it is. But anyway, those are my recollections. I liked you.
All right. Well, I when I did a road trip vacation when, one of the weeks you were racing, I took the Holly Madison book with me. The tell-all from inside the mansion.
And I heard it was good.
It was fascinating. I assume a lot of that has to go through lawyers and legal and check the facts. And if it's true, Hef was into some stuff.
I would like to hear about it. It's in the book. Fine. Also, yes, I wrote a book or four. And when you write a book or four, you then, at some point, you get on the phone with a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And the lawyers comb through all facets of the book, Brian knows this, and they start circling things.
It's true.
And if you said you had sex with Jennifer Aniston, they want to know, did you have sex with Jennifer Aniston? Because if you don't, Jennifer Aniston's very litigious. And so I downgraded to a hand job.
Right.
Because I didn't want to get sued.
Yeah.
No, they asked, and you're able to say, and Joey, you're able to say, yes, I did. Go ahead, and that is true.
Wow.
And they tell you if it's not, you better say something now because if we do get sued, you're going to be on the hook. And so you do that with all facets of the book. So then, if you read in there that here's what Hef liked.
In the evenings.
They vetted it.
Wow.
My call with the lawyer was really intense because, not intense, but took it very seriously because it wasn't a lot of, here's this crazy story about Jennifer Aniston or whatever example. They're like, oh, you're talking about doctors, and doctors keep records. So they maybe changed some names. They encouraged me to change some names, even though I said everything I said was true. They're like, yeah, just in case the doctor has a problem with it, you should change the name. Like, okay.
Interesting.
My two greatest feathers in my cap were once my Mark Itkin, my agent at William Morris reporting back to me that the casting director on a call on an audition I went out on when I used to go out on audition said you were verbally abusive to them. Because I hated going out on these things. And I hated, by the way, that 20 people would show up and I'd
Norm
go,
McDonald's.
What time did I tell you to get here? 11:30. What about you? 11:30. What about you? 11:30. What about you? 11:30. Like, they just tell everyone to show up at 11:30 and then you just sit there and they'd be eating lunch and stuff. And they didn't care. Yeah. In other words, and I once trying to organize a mutiny, I just said, everyone get up and let's leave.
Norm Gilbert, let's go.
And we,
how'd that work out?
It didn't work out because I remember saying to these guys, come on, where's your dignity? Let's leave. Let's go. And I was on, I think I was doing the Man Show and Loveline. And they, some guy said, I said, I'll buy everyone ice cream right now. Let's get up and leave. Let's just empty this place out. They'll just come out. There'll be nobody there for the audition. And they'll think about next time they tell everyone to show up at the same time. And someone said, you have two jobs. We don't have any. Mm-hmm. That did it. There's another time when Jimmy and I were auditioning for something like Before the Man Show, And they were super snarky and super. There was a time in the 90s where it was like you'd go in there and just get dressed down. And, you know, like people, they, you know, they'd say to you, like, what makes you think you can act? You know, and you'd go, I don't know. It's just an audition. Like, and so
they're hazing you.
They, at some point, they told Jimmy and I, go out and make an entrance into the room and wow us all. And I was so angry at everybody at this time that when we went out in the hall, I was like, let's leave. And leave. Like, they'll just sit there. And they'll just keep sitting there and we'll just be gone. But Jimmy was like, we can't do that. And I was like, come on, let's go. Like, we're not going to, I would always say, we're not going to get the job anyway. This way we can,
give
we can save our dignity. Yeah. Give us a couple of, so Mark telling me that the casting agent said I was verbally abusive.
Awesome.
And the attorney, when I wrote not Taco Bell material, I think, asking if my parents were litigious. I was like, did I talk that much shit? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I don't think my parents know what the word litigious means.
Yeah, they'd have to get off the couch and find the dictionary.
Give us two good ones from the book.
Well, the big one, the big standout from the book is that every night the girls would have to put on like little girl pajamas, like you know, matching top and bottom, like flannel with the bunnies and stuff on them, or, you know, the snowflakes, and stand around his bed and make out with each other while he pleasured himself. Mm-hmm. With, you know, because I think they called it, I remember, a mechanical erection or something.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Oh, they left. They what happened to Circle Jerk?
Then the
bull in the ring,
whoever the main girlfriend was, this is just what I read. Mm-hmm. Whoever the main girlfriend was, she got the honor of getting on top of him first. Mm-hmm. Because that meant that she would have the least amount of chances to get a disease from one of the other girls.
Uh-huh.
So she got to go first. All the other girls had
position
to
position raise.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Had to at least pretend their best, if they didn't really want to do it, that they were making out with each other, that they were doing all this stuff to each other, while the main girl had sex with Hef, and he watched all the girls around him in their, like, girl pajamas.
It's an interesting thing, which
it's
is
great read.
Yeah,
I am
educational.
Completely now subscribed to that theory of if you get everything, you just need more.
Yeah,
you just burn out your pleasure centers. There's no, I don't think anyone has ever been happier than being 11 years old, having their first, you know, bicycle that they bought with their own money that they saved up mowing neighbors' lawns over 3 months, and they'd been looking at it in the window of the Schwinn shop. I have 100 bicycles is, you know, I have no bicycles,
right,
or 1,000 bicycles,
right,
and now I need to remove the seat and sit on the seat stem
peg, yeah,
on the peg, like just so I can experience something while riding one of the bicycles. Like,
yeah.
I truly believe.
Yeah.
And it had to be weird with Hef, because at, you know, 40 years of that, like, you can no longer just find somebody you're in love with and do it missionary style.
No.
You have to have that up. Was he happy? Like, was that happy? Because in order to make that guy happy, you had to up the ante,
yes,
constantly.
And think of the 22, 23-year-old girl that's so excited to move into the mansion. And not only does she have to do this, but every Saturday night, whatever, the curfew's 8 p.m. so you can go to the library and watch Maltese Falcon or some other movie you've never heard of.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's God. I thought about that.
And yeah, you have to watch all the old ones.
All the girls having to pretend to be interested in his
and
stuff.
And then, like you're saying to, like, the 22-year-old chick who's put on academic probation at the junior college, girls, I don't want you to get too excited, but Mr. Don Adams may join us tonight. What was Don? The Don Adams is going to join us here tonight when we watch Burt Lancaster in Preacher with a Shovel. The Don Adams.
Now, I don't have to tell you all, this is a big deal.
I don't have to tell you, this is a big deal. The Don Adams.
I'll just Google it later.
Is going to be joining us tonight.
the girls had to pretend to be into a lot of stuff. Not just sexual.
No, everything.
Really. Theatrical.
By the way, apropos of nothing, when you're talking about bicycles, this isn't in the news, but I love this headline.
Seat post, by the way. You said peg. I said like seat holder or something, but I was trying to think of seat post.
Right. So, you know, Burning Man was a few months ago.
Yes.
And one of the whole points, even though they sell tickets on Ticketmaster, is it's supposed to be this, you know, very sort of earthy, you know, hippie. You go there. It's this big art installation festival. It's this whole, you know, microcosm utopia. And the whole point is to leave no trace. So when Burning Man's over, you take everything with you. You don't destroy the earth. You don't leave crap behind for the next
person. About your carbon footprint? You're burning 70 tons of wicker in the middle of the desert.
They're not worried about that.
Okay.
So another example of that is there were pictures. I don't know if you saw them. There were pictures going around of thousands of bicycles left behind. There's a picture of it. Because the Burning Man is so huge, it's multiple miles that, you know, people bring bikes and go around. But you leave no trace. You bring back with you everything you took there. Well, nobody did. So there's thousands of bikes. But there is a very silver lining to this. Apparently, and I read the headline. I don't have it in front of me. I apologize. All those bikes were picked up and donated to Houston and to Florida, I believe, for the hurricane victims who lost all their transportation. So all the lazy millennials that forgot their bikes because they didn't want to take it home, at least they're all being donated to a good cause.
Mm. Wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
Leave no trace.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Well, TMZ reports that Marilyn Manson's concert in New York came to a scary abrupt halt when two giant gun props came crashing down on him and sent him to the hospital. Manson was reportedly about an hour into his show at the Manhattan Center Hammerstein Ballroom performing his hit Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, which is
not really his hit.
Yeah, not his hit, Eurythmics. When the stage prop fell on him, according to various reports, it took several minutes for emergency workers to get him out from under it.
This, by the way, Marilyn Manson performing Sweet Dreams is like you saying to me, good news, we're going to serve you liver, but your waitress is a cunt.
Be just like that.
I'd be like, oh, fuck, this just got worse.
Yeah. I don't know which is worse.
I was pissed when I heard the liver part, but now I'm going to be dressed down by the... That's what Sweet Dreams delivered by Marilyn Manson sounds like to me. That's what I heard.
Also, bearing the lead here, the story is Marilyn Manson still performing concerts.
Yes, he is. Well, we have a clip of it if you'd like to see the set
like
come down.
Yeah.
And just back
up
about
like
5 seconds.
It looks like a 45 or a Beretta or something. Two big pistols.
Yeah, on a scaffolding.
Yeah. Standing there in the middle of two big pistols
tried
and
to
the
pick
whole,
it up and he's down.
Yeah, the whole scaffolding just sort of tipped over.
Apparently, he was taken out on a stretcher, and no word how bad his injuries are, but the show was obviously canceled.
Yeah, I've seen enough NFL collisions that they go extra nutty with the neck and the stretcher
right.
and the whole thing if it's anything close, so hopefully he's okay. The stretcher these days doesn't necessarily mean taken out on
like
a stretcher.
Yeah.
In the day, if you were taken out on a stretcher, it was off the battlefield and limbs were like hanging off. This is, they take every, any trauma to the head or neck or spine. Yeah. Now they take extra precautions to lock everyone off. So hope he's okay. That being said, that's God telling you don't do any more Eurythmics
songs.
You've
gone away this long.
Jesus Christ.
No,
Sweet Dreams, such a horrible. Walking on Broken Glass is okay.
That's Annie likes solo.
Why is solo?
They got a couple of good ones, but they have some horrible songs. Horrible, horrible songs. I don't know how they even made it to the radio. Why we even like when I hear the first two bars of Sweet Dreams, I just turn the radio as fast as I can. Like what? Oh, it's so fucking bad. Like who listens to this? Like find me the segment of society that enjoys it, not the one that finds it familiar. Or knows it, or remembers it from high school or beyond, but who likes it. All right, bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Some of my best friends are blacks. Gina
Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Stamps.com, man. We use it here for all our shipping. Why not? You can buy and print official U.S. postage, any letter, any package, any class of mail from your computer right off your printer. We have the scale in the back. I was just looking at it yesterday. It'll go up to 80 pounds. I'll even send you the scale, and that's free. And it automatically calculates the exact postage. Put it whatever. Hey, man, the holidays are coming up. You guys are going to be sending things abroad. You don't want to pay more, and you don't want to wait in line at the post office. And right now, you can enjoy Stamps.com with a special four-week trial, plus postage and the digital scale without long-term commitments. Why would you do anything else? Like, we talked before about doing everything sort of online. Yep. Stamps.com is
the next generation
of that. Yes, an extension of that. Don't go to the post office. Go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, top of the homepage, and type in Adam. That is Stamps.com. Enter Adam, and let's get all of this, and never go to the post office again. It is Stamps.com. Me doing a one-man show coming up, Minneapolis Music Hall, Friday, October 13th. That is, again, in Minneapolis. And then Saturday, Nashville, Polk Theater, on the 14th. That's an evening with moi. I don't want to brag, but I've got a standing ovation in Chicago, so how bad can it be? Me and Dennis Prager, November 29th, Brooklyn, New York, King's Theater. Always great with Dennis, so check that out. Us, Irvine Improv, coming up this Thursday with Jay Moore, and he's always so good. You want to be on stage with him. You don't want to be married to him. You want to be on stage with him. He is delightfully funny and insane. October 26th, Bakersfield. November 12th, Oxnard, Levity Live. Go to amcroll.com. Go to Chassis, two S's and a Y, and see all the product there. And check out the merch at Adam Carolla and get some buck slips and say hi to Lynette over at Carolla Drinks. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garagus, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan saying mahalo. Here's a nickel. Stop talking.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. And give me a thumbs up on Facebook and leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at AdamCarolla.com. The Ace Man hitting Minneapolis October 13th. Nashville October 14th. Get your tickets for that, as well as maybe a seat on the Carolla Cruise this November at AdamCarolla.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit Spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.